Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there. Well, you have reached Dr. Number 14's Best SF Show, and it's the April 6, 2015 edition, and we have quite a lineup. I was in New Orleans presenting a paper on Maleficent at the Popular Culture Association from Wednesday through Sunday, and it went very well. Saw some of the sites, went on a plantation tour, all of that, and then when I got back, I saw, a good 7 or 8 shows. So altogether, we have basically about 11 shows to do, including the Walking Dead finale. So without further ado, let's talk about 516 Conquer, the season 5 finale of Walking Dead. It definitely went above the 8.0 season 4 finale. It got an 8.2 with 15.8 million viewers. And in fact, I think this was the highest rated finale, perhaps the highest rated episode of all the season. I'm not too sure of all the series, that is. I'm not too sure, though. Correct me if I'm wrong, but here's The Walking Dead. So it was pretty good because Morgan enters the scene. He was tracking Rick down at the end of season 4, if you remember. And he runs into the people that put the W's on the foreheads of the zombies as well as themselves, the wolves. And so they introduce him at the beginning and at the end of the episode, which was pretty good. Meanwhile, Rick recovers and he's told by Michonne that Pete is in another house. And they're having a meeting regarding Rick's behavior. And if it goes bad, Rick is going to threaten Deanna to slit her throat, God, and they will take the armory. So Rick returns to the house, hugs Carol, while Daryl and Aaron run into a trap created by the wolves, and the zombies come out in mass from the trucks, and they hole up in the car. And what happens is, the ones with the W's then program the zombies to go back in the trucks. And as this is going on, Glenn is shot by Nicholas, and Morgan, meanwhile, the black man gets Daryl and Aaron out of the car, and Morgan gets direction where to go. And Glenn fights Nicholas, the one who shot him, and the zombies are en masse on Glenn, but Glenn is able to escape and knocks out his attacker. Meanwhile, Deanna talks to the group about Rick Grimes, and Rick finds that the zombies are inside. And I think it was due to Gabriel leaving the gate unlocked so that the zombies could get in. So he starts killing them. He chokes the one with his bare hand. And what happens is Rick carries the dead zombie into Deanna's group. And Rick tells the group that the zombies will always find them and kill them. And Rick says he will show the group how they can survive. And he says, you're going to change. You're not ready, but you have to be right now. Meanwhile, Glenn is ready to shoot Nicholas, but he doesn't. And Sasha is ready to shoot Gabriel, but she doesn't. And Gabe says, they all died because of me. And then at the end, Pete comes. Oh, my God, slashes Deanna's husband's throat. And Deanna tells Rick to do it. And so Rick shoots Pete, and then he sees Morgan. And Sasha takes the sword and puts it on her. And looks like that whole community is going to change. And that's the end of that season, which I believe moved quite better than the previous season, which really dragged in places. So I did like The Walking Dead. Okay, Once Upon a Time, episode 417, Best Laid Plans. This was last week's show because it wasn't on this week. It tied with the series low of 1.7. It dropped from a 1.9 with only 5.48 million viewers watching. I don't quite understand this because it was such a great, it was probably the best episode, at least of the season, probably one of the best of the entire series. I like this plot line about the author, about what happened to Maleficent's baby. All of this is answered. In the past, Noah and Charming find a unicorn, and they both touch it torn, and they see the fate of baby Emma. And Snow sees her as a teenager who rips her heart out and crushes it, so she sees the child as evil, while Charming sees baby Emma as pure. And so Maleficent, they find out by a peddler, is turned into a dragon, laid an egg, and made a nest. So Snow and Charming see the sorcerer's apprentice. And the apprentice says, either vision can't come true, and says another living vessel, another baby, has to absorb Emma's evil. And the sorcerer's apprentice can perform the spell, and Snow wants to use Maleficent's egg as the vessel. So they enter Maleficent's lair, they see the egg, and Maleficent transforms into a human and asks them not to take her child, but Snow does. Well, by the end, the sorcerer's apprentice puts the evil in the egg, just as a baby is coming out. And then the egg is sent through a portal along with Cruella and Ursula. And now Snow and Charming's baby can grow up pure of intent. Okay, well, this is going on. Emma gives her Regina a fake copy of the text page that has the door behind which the sorcerer is trapped. But it won't fool them, so Regina takes a picture of the door via her cell phone and shows it to the villains. And Rumpel sees it sealed by magic. And Rumpel wants the book brought to him. So Maleficent casts a sleeping spell on the town. And then she wants to know the fate of her child. Then she'll help Gold get the author. While this is going on, Henry runs off with the book. Regina follows him with the Queens of Evil behind. And Henry is at the Sorcerer's Mansion. And Charming wants to destroy the page to protect the real page to protect Emma. Meanwhile, Henry finds the key to the door in the book, but hides it when Regina and the others comes in. And Henry gives them the forged page. And then Henry wants to open the door with the key, but David prevents him, and Henry gives him the key and the notebook. While this is going on, Gold goes back to Belle, kisses her hand, and says he'll be back for her if he can. Then he rejoins the villainesses and says the page is a fake, and so Regina is put under by Maleficent and taken to her vault. While this is going on, David is ready to burn the real page, but Snow stops him, and they tell Emma the truth, and she takes it very hard as to what they did to him. And Regina is in the vault, and while this is going on, Gold shows the fate of Maleficent's baby to Maleficent, that the baby is alive. Her name is Lilith, a.k.a. Lily, the one that Emma had met as a teenager. And Emma brings the page to August, and August explains there have been many authors throughout time recording the story, but the last author manipulated rather than observed the event, and so the Sorcerer's Apprentice put the author in the book. So Emma puts the key in the door lock, and the author is released into this timeline, and it's the peddler that Snow and Charming met. And he escapes into Storybrooke and he disappears there. Wow. It just was a chock full episode from start to finish, and I really loved it. So now let's focus on the following. Episode 306, Reunion. This is a little bit better, I thought, than most of them, even though it's nearing the halfway point. It did tie its series low of 1.1. It dropped from a 1.2 to that with 3.28 million. Again, that's why Sleepy Hollow was picked up, because the following is doing far worse than Sleepy Hollow. And my guess is this will be the last season for the following. Ryan meets Joe and tells him that Arthur Strauss, Dr. Strauss, is missing and wants to know where he's going. And Joe will tell him and wants in return visits from Ryan, and he agrees. So Joe says Strauss is going to seek out a friend, a student of his. And while this is going on, Strauss's lawyer that got him off, Rhodes, is on an elevator. But his best student of all, this hacker genius of Strauss, controls the elevator. Rhodes gets off on the floor, is pursued, and the student uses a blowtorch on him and burns his face off. Meanwhile, Ryan and Mike go to Beacon, where they believe another student of Strauss's is, who's been killing. And the deputy shows them where the last body was found, and they see Dow's talisman hanging on the tree. And a man in the mask takes off. And Ryan and Mike find skulls in the woods at the burial ground. 9 victims have been killed there in the last 10 to 15 years. And so they think Justin, the sheriff's kid, might be involved. And Mike takes him down, and they find he has a mask, and he was apparently just trying to scare off hikers. And then the sheriff comes and finds out his boy was making meth in a van. So that's it. Justin is arrested. And Strauss and the girl Daisy are holed up in a cabin in Beacon. And the deputy's uncle, Duncan, tells Strauss that Ryan Hardy is coming to the cabin. And as this is going on, we find out that the deputy's uncle, Duncan, is the serial killer, that the bodies all have their hearts extracted. And they find Duncan's wife's body, one of the first kills, and then he pulls a knife on his niece, and Ryan clobbers him, and he doesn't want to tell them about Strauss. And we find out, too, that Duncan killed the deputy's parents. So she punches him, and the sheriff tells him about the cabin that Duncan uses. So while this is going on, the student that got Strauss's lawyer rejoins Strauss. And then he strangles him. And Daisy watches, and she fears for her life. As this is going on, the sheriff leads Ryan and Mike to the cabin, and they find Strauss dead. And then the student at the end rejoins his family. Daisy is on her own and gets picked up by someone. And then Hardy visits Joe again and asks him who Strauss's best student is. So I did like the fact that they focused on Strauss rather than that insane Mark serial killer from the previous episodes. Reunion was a much better episode. Okay, and this brings us now to the Bates Motel, episode 304, Unbreakable. It's been holding its own. It got a 0.7 with 1.71 million viewers. Attica, before she died, gave Norma a flash drive. And Norman sees her and asks his mother, did I do it? Because he's in a bit of a daze. Meanwhile, Sheriff Romero says it doesn't make sense why Attica drove to Norma's, but Norma is very protective of the flash drive. And she checks out the flash drive, but the computer is password protected. So Attica, it's deduced, was shot 20 minutes before going to the motel. And the car she drove was the other dead girl's, Lindsay. And Emma wants to take the day off with Norman, and they kiss, and Norma interrupts them. And meanwhile, the psych teacher has coffee with Norma, and she says she doesn't trust Norman very much. And then she returns home and finds the sheriff's car there. And he's looking through Attica's room, and wants to know if she had anything on her, but Norma denies it. Meanwhile, Norman is cooking something for the picnic with Emma. And the mother is pissed at him and tells him he shouldn't sleep with her because she's a very sick girl. Norma then shows Dylan the flash drive, and Dylan will help her open it. So it's very cold for Norman's and Emma's picnic. They go to an abandoned cabin for shelter. They build a fire. They start kissing. And then Norman says his mother told him he shouldn't have sex with Emma. She's pissed and leaves and says, I didn't think your mother was coming on this. Meanwhile, Caleb has an argument with Dylan and falls from the roof of the house he's constructing and is bleeding. So Dylan stitches him up, his hand primarily, and finds out Caleb did rape Norma, but he wants to tell her that he's sorry. Caleb, that is. Meanwhile, Dylan finds a man rummaging through the hotel office and tells him and his friend to go. And Norman follows Dylan into the woods, and Dylan puts the flash drive in the timer and hides it. And Caleb is there. Norman sees Caleb in the woods and says, Dylan betrayed mother, and she needs to know. And then Norman drives off. So it's moving. It really is. May not be the best with previous seasons, but clearly Norman is degenerating into his madness more and more and more. Okay, and now this brings us to the return, episode 104, Victor, the little boy Victor. And again, it received a 0.4 rating with 1.12 million viewers. We find out 29 years ago that Victor and his mom were reading a story. He goes to bed and hears gunshots and the mother screaming, so he hides in the closet. And one of the masked men that basically attacked his parents and killed them sees him and says it's okay, but the other masked man shoots Victor, and that's how he dies. And then Victor sleeps with Julie, and a neighbor cries out because she found that the one that let Victor into her apartment has been horribly mutilated, and Victor did that to her. Meanwhile, Rowan is hiding Simon in the attic and making love to him later, and Tommy watches on these video monitors. And the scar is hurting Lena more and more. She falls downstairs and knocks herself out, and the scar is getting bigger, and she's taken to the hospital, and she blames Camille. And says that she's killing her. Rowan's girl, her daughter, hears sounds in the attic, and Rowan finds a camera in the daughter's room. So she knows Tommy, her fiancé, has been spying on her. And the doctor examines Lena when she's brought to him and says it's like a puncture wound and it's spreading and not sure what it is. Rowan tells Simon about the camera, and Chloe finds, and that's the girl, finds the two of them in the attic. And Rowan says Simon is her father, and she thinks he's an angel, but then Chloe touches him. And she's sworn to secrecy. And Rowan then needs to talk to Tommy. So Simon leaves, but promises he'll be back. Okay, Nikki, the cop, takes Victor away from Julie, and Julie is sad. And Victor is taken to the community center. Meanwhile, Jack sees Lena at the hospital, and the wife confronts him about Camille's college fund that's been completely gone. And he gave it to Lucy, apparently so she could have visions of Camille while making love to Jack. And the wife now wants nothing to do with him. And then Tommy tells Rowan he saw all of it, and he was trying to keep her safe, and she plans to leave him, so she slaps him for touching her and says, get away from me. And then 4 years ago, Lena is brought into the morgue to see Camille's body, and Camille has a scar on her back, the same scar that now Lena has. Wow. And apparently part of the bus's metal, a part of that vehicle went right through Camille is back. And so now, because they're connected, Lena is experiencing the same wound. Okay, now we get into the fun stuff, the Tuesday, Wednesday stuff with Flash, iZombie, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Tuesday night, and then Arrow, Supernatural, Wednesday night, and then Grimm, Friday night to round out our lineup. So, Flash, this obviously had to be the best episode of the series to date. Episode 117, Tricksters. It did pick up in the ratings a little bit from a 1.2 to a 1.3 with 3.5 million viewers. And Tricksters is very appropriate. The Trickster is back, a new incarnation of the Trickster. Mark Hamill reprises his role as the original Trickster. And we also find out that Eobard, Thawne, Eobard Thawne, was also a Trickster too because he assumed the body of Harrison Wells. So a lot of stuff makes sense after this, which is cool. So 15 years ago, the Reverse Flash battled the older Flash, Barry. And now Barry suspects Wells. He waited patiently for 15 years for Barry, and the big question is why. Meanwhile, a new villain has these exploding presents, these parachute bombs, says he's the Trickster, and he's reenacting the very things that his predecessor, the original Trickster, James Jesse, instead of Jesse James, did 20 years ago, who's in Iron Heights. So Joe and Barry visit Jesse, and the new Trickster apparently found his lair, and that's why his MO is the same. And so Joe and Barry go to the lair, and the door is lined with an explosive, and the copycat took everything, his secret stash. So they go back to Jesse and said he has a really big bomb that he's going to level all of Central City with. So Iris contacts Flash, meanwhile, to help her find Mason Bridge, the missing reporter. And then the new Trickster broadcasts again, says he has a bomb, and tells them the area where the bomb is, but it's a trick because the Trickster is in Iron Heart's prison, and he's trying to help Jesse escape. And basically we find out that the new Trickster worships Jesse, and then Jesse tells him, I am your father, and his son is Axel Walker. Classic, because Darth Vader delivered that line to Luke Skywalker, and now Mark Hamill is saying, I am your father. And so as this is going on, they do have this side story with Reverse Flash had lost the Speed Force that night when he killed the mother, Barry's mother, and got trapped in the past. And meanwhile, Harrison was with his love, Beth, and the man, Reverse Flash, overturned the car with Beth dead, and then the man says the woman has been dead for centuries, and Wells gets out of the car, and the man says he's Eobard Thawne. He takes Harrison's body and duplicates it so he can build the particle accelerator sooner. And so Harrison dies at the end of the episode. So really, Reverse Flash isn't Harrison Wells. He's actually Eobard Thawne, and he is snatched Wells' body up during the now in this new timeline, and that was the killer part of the series. Is during the re-election of the politician Bellows, Jesse and Axel rob people, and basically, they poison the people, so he wants them to transfer all their money into his account, otherwise they're going to die. And Iris is there. She contacts Barry, who races to City Hall. But the Tricksters put the bomb on the Flash, and he has to run over 600 miles an hour and run, 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 as the old Trickster says. And Harrison says that the only way he can get the bomb off of him is if he vibrates through a solid object and he leaves the bomb on the other side, which he does. He vibrates through a truck, leaving the bomb on the other side that then explodes. And the Flash gives all the people an antidote, and he frees his dad, who was taken when Jesse was freed from the prison, before he gets staggered, and so they get the Tricksters. And Barry then at the end reveals himself as Flash to Eddie. And Eddie says that Mason went to Brazil. Apparently it's a lie, but it's a lie that they're going to have to live with, even though Mason is now dead. Lots of stuff going on with the Flash. So this brings us now to iZombie, episode 103, The Exterminator. It held its own. It was a match with this previous week of 0.7 with 1.9 million viewers. The main story about this hitman who was killed by this one who hired him to kill this other individual is a side story. I really liked the plot where these kids post a pic of a zombie living underground in this hole that the zombie has fallen through. So Robbie finds the pic, and basically they investigate where the zombie was photographed, and Robbie hears noises coming from the hole, and they both find a female zombie, and Liv recognizes her. She worked with her, and it's Marcy, and Robbie thinks that the deterioration of the zombie can be changed if she feeds on body parts. So fortunately, he has in a little cooler these body parts that he throws down into the hole. And they go back to the hole several days later, and Marcy still looks bad, and Liv wants to kill her. But Robbie falls in and is attacked by her. Then Liv jumps in, and basically she zombies out at one point. And she has this metal pipe, and she smashes Marcy's head with it. And then she recovers, and they pull up the corpse, and they have to burn the body. And Robbie tells her she did save him. And at the end, Liv sends Marcy's necklace back to her mom. And Liv is sad during the episode, too, because her ex-major has moved on. It's got a likableness to it. It's got a little bit of a superhero plot because she's able to solve of the deceased, and so she has their past memories. But it's also pretty cool, too, because I do like the female lead in iZombie. So I like the episode a lot. This brings us then to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which also attained a series low of 1.4. Same as like Once Upon a Time, with 4.26 million viewers. And it alternates. Episode 215, One Door Closes, with the day that S.H.I.E.L.D. fell, and that's when those Project Insight cruisers all crashed in the Captain America movie Winter Soldier. And that's the point where Mac and Bobby fight these Hydra agents to save S.H.I.E.L.D. And then Bobby and Mac's mission are to get Gonzalez, as well as several other agents, off the ship so that they can reform S.H.I.E.L.D., the true S.H.I.E.L.D., and they're calling the organization that they work for the true S.H.I.E.L.D. So Coulson, in the present timeline, suspects Mac. He's restrained, and May finds Bobby, but Bobby gets away along with Mac. And while this is going on, Sky puts on the gloves that's able to restrain her powers. And then the mutant Gordon, who's without eyes, shows up at her door and says that the Terrigen mist changes everyone differently. And Gordon will take her to a place that is more like them, but will await her decision and then teleports away. Meanwhile, the plan unfolds aboard the bus because the bus is saturated with gas. And then Gonzalez, Agent Weaver, with several of the other S.H.I.E.L.D., true S.H.I.E.L.D. operatives arrive, and Coulson is brought to Gonzalez, Gonzalez thinks that Coulson has been compromised. Meanwhile, May warns Sky to get out of her cabin and tells her S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming for her, and then several planes come, and they search for Sky in the woods, and Bobby is with them, and Sky protects herself from being shot when she's found and levels trees. She's got a great force as she knocks the agents down, including Bobby. And then she calls Gordon, and basically he arrives and teleports her out of the air, the space to their home. Meanwhile, May shoots Gonzalez, frees Coulson, and tells him to find Sky and gets him out before Weaver comes. And then at the end, in a bar, Hunter meets up with Coulson, and he signs his name on a piece of napkin and says he's now going to work for him. And so that's how it ends. Lots of action on this show. Again, don't know where it is all going to lead, but a lot of action. So this brings us now to the Wednesday night lineup, Arrow, Supernatural. And Arrow, I thought, was also, like Once Upon a Time, one of the best of the season. Public Enemy, episode 318. So much happened in this, like in Once Upon a Time. And yet, it received one of its lowest ratings. Not the lowest, but pretty close to low. It dropped from a 1.0 to a 0.8 with 2.48 million viewers. So we found out that Maceo arrowed the mayor and tries getting Felicity, but Ray gets in the way, and he's arrowed. And Ray, it's found, has developed a thrombus, a blood clot. But he says he has the nanotech to use to shrink the thrombus so that it doesn't affect his brain or his heart, but the doctor can't use it. So what Felicity does is she gets the nanotech from his lab. She injects it into Ray's neck. He convulses. We think he's died, but he then recovers, and the clot in his brain is completely gone. And then what he does at the end, he recovers and says he loves Felicity, and she freaks out, and her mom, who's visiting, says she's actually in love with Oliver, and she's got to choose between Oliver or Ray. And it looks like the coming attractions for the last five episodes of the season, seems like she's going to make out with Oliver. Meanwhile, Oliver, Arsenal, and Canary fight Maceo and the League, and Oliver is ready to shoot Maceo, but Ray shows up. And they do say, for those who ally themselves with Ray, it's Ray. For those who don't, it's Roz. Very interesting, the two pronunciations. And Ray says he has two choices, to be the next Ray or end up in a cage. And then the police and the choppers come, and the troops are on the ground, and they take off. And Lance is ready to shoot Laurel, but Nissan mobilizes him. And Dig gets Oliver into the van, a chase ensues, but Oliver gets away. And so Lance is captured at one point and taken to Ray, who tells him the Arrow's identity. So Lance tells Laurel he knows, and the officers are heading to arrest Oliver. So Oliver's on the run. He goes to Dig's place. And then Lance reveals to the public that Oliver and Arrow are one and the same. And so Oliver walks into the police station, turns himself in because he believes there's power in truth. And Lance tells Queen he's a villain as he's being transported through town in the security van. But then it stops abruptly. And then the Arrow comes and frees Oliver. And then the guy behind the hood says he's the Arrow. And it's revealed he's Roy. Oh, my God. Wow. And that's going to be continued where Roy is arrested and everything. But at least he's able to get Oliver free. Meanwhile, we also find out in the past that Shadow had a twin sister, May. And basically, May gets closure when she sees the tattoo on Oliver's back because it's the same as her sister's Shadow. And basically, Oliver admits he loves Shadow and tells her Shadow and her dad are gone so that she finally has closure on all of that. But, wow, it really moved this episode. Okay, so this brings us then to Supernatural, episode 1017, Inside Man, with Jim Beaver playing Bobby, reprising his role. Yay. And it tied with its series low of 0.6 with 1.7 million viewers. So why don't we play our Supernatural theme song, and then we will review it. And I did like it, even though really not much happened apart from the fact that Bobby came back. So let us see. Can get Supernatural. Here we go. Okay, so what happens on Supernatural? Cass and Sam seek out the psychic, Oliver Price, and want him to contact Bobby because this is the only way they can free Metatron, who has information on the Mark of Cain. And Anna won't let him out, nor any of the angels, so Sam plans to break Metatron out by contacting Bobby, who's gone up to heaven. And Sam tells him everything as to what is going on. And Cass tells Bobby he needs to open up the gate so that they can get Metatron. So Bobby finds the escape hatch. He gets out. And Bobby finds the gate. It's behind door 42 in heaven. Opens it, and Cass gets through. They arrive at Metatron's cell. Cass frees Metatron and brings him to Earth. And then Cass takes Metatron's grace, and he's now mortal. So he's very vulnerable here on Earth. But he says he doesn't know about the curse, the Mark of Cain, because it's old magic. And so we're left still hanging about how to cure Dean, who is having nightmares, who sees demon eyes looking back at him. He's getting worse and worse, and the demon eventually is going to seize control of him. And meanwhile, there is this side story of Rowena traces Dean to the bar. And basically, he meets with Rowena, and she uses a spell to kill him, but it doesn't faze him. And she's trying to save her son, Crowley. And so she returns to Crowley, all beaten up and mutilated. And she said that Dean did it to her. And so Crowley appears to Dean, and Dean says he did not beat her up. And so they drink together, and basically Crowley then goes back to Rowena and tells her to get out. By the end, Bobby tells Sam in a letter that it's not good going behind Dean's back, and so he should really level with Dean. He also tells him he's very proud of Sam, too. Okay, the final episode we're going to review is Grimm, episode 416, Heartbreaker, which matched its series low from last week of a 1.0 to 4.52 million viewers. And I do like this plot a lot, but it looks like some people either don't know Grimm is on or they're watching it in Live Plus instead of right then and there when it airs. But I've been liking Grimm. So let's play our season 2 theme song and then review it. Is it playing? Can't tell if it's playing or not. So a cyclist takes a fall and she's bleeding. Her name's Bella, and a fellow cyclist who's in love with her, Zach, he touches her and Bella changes, almost looks like a fish, Wesson. And Zach dies horribly after he touches her and his face is covered up with welts. And Bella calls her mom and says it's happened. And her mom is on her way, and when she joins her at her apartment, she's disfigured facially. Meanwhile, Nick and Hank investigate Zach's place, and he has drawings of Bella all over. And they check out other bicyclists and find out more about Bella Turner and where she works. So they talk to her, but she says she knows nothing about Zach's death, even though she's lied. And then the autopsy is in. Zach had toxin in him that made his heart stop. Literally, he died of a broken heart. And so it's deduced by Rosalia Monroe that this Wesson can only vote to those who are sexually attracted to her. And so Rosalie is going to find a neutralizing agent to stop her from killing. Meanwhile, Rick visits another cyclist who really desires her sexually, visits Bella at the shop, and he votes. And then he kisses her, but she changes into that fish form again. And then Rick dies, but Bella calls 911 before this happens. and Nick and Hank find Rick's body, and they get Bella's home address, but she's apparently gone. But they find out that Bella's mom was raped, and she had no scars then on her, but the rapist died in very much the same tragic manner. So Rosalie says that they can depolarize Bella's membranes, but that there will be side effects. So Bella goes to her mom's place, and her grandmother is also disfigured and knocks the daughter out. And then has this brand, and she's going to brand Bella on the face. So apparently then she can't no longer use that or secrete that toxin if she's disfigured, like her mom and like the grandmother who have been disfigured. But Nick and Hank arrive, and basically they stop the grandmother from doing it. And then Rosalie takes Bella in and tells her to drink the liquid, which she does. And 3 weeks later, Bella is on a date, and she has very strange features, sort of greenish-tinged, almost lizard-like features on her face. But this one with the tattoos on his body and face really likes her, so it looks like things turned out well for her. Meanwhile, Prince Kenneth introduces himself to Adeline and sees that she's pregnant, and Adeline says it's Victor's child. Actually, it's Nick's. And so she lies to Kenneth, but Kenneth says Victor is sterile. So again, he wants to know who the father is. At one point, Sean Renard goes to Prince Kenneth. They fight, and he starts bleeding from his wounds again and is downed. And Sean is told that he needs to join forces with Kenneth. And so that's how that is left. And then the side story is Juliet returns to get some of her stuff, and she's very flip with Nick. And we find out in an upcoming episode that she's going to sleep with Sean Renard. So I don't know what's happening to Juliet at all. And that's one thing I don't like about the show, but overall it's a very enjoyable show to watch. So we've covered all the shows that we wanted to this week. There's a couple others that I probably will put in the mix in terms of next weekend's review, simply because there'll be more time, since Flash, Arrow, Supernatural, Vampire Diaries, they're all not present this week. So there'll be more time for me to review those shows. So see you next weekend, or if no better time than Monday afternoon. So until next time, sleep tight, and basically we hope you have a great week, and you had a great Easter or Seder or whatever your religious observation is, and we will be back for more next week. Until then, sleep tight.